Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. Little glitches here when we were signed. You know, I don't know if you saw that. I thought you were disconnected. Did you see that?
I did not disconnect. I completely lost my call.
Okay, and it also I was trying to shut the music off, and it wouldn't go off, so then I muted it.
Oh, dear God. Like, here we go.
Oh, it was, I will tell you, it was a little low, a little slow logging on today, getting the actual site up. So I don't know, maybe it has a few glitches, but I was so glad when it said, you know, that you were blown off the show and you're not, and your episode is ending, that something
stopped
that.
Oh, my God, I got back.
I just kept talking. I was like, okay, if there's a problem, I'll learn soon enough. You know?
Well, I'll figure it out.
Denial's a wonderful thing sometimes. I'm like, oh, I hope there's not a problem. Not today. It's so nice to be doing our show while it's still daylight out. Don't you find that interesting?
Yes, I've been loving this.
Right. It's so nice, the longer days. You know, it's really nice, and once in a while we get a little bit warm, and it's really delightful. And, you know, I did get an email last week. One of our regular listeners wanted to know, how is marriage going for Nicole? Because she doesn't talk about it too much. So, you know, maybe you can answer Leanne, who emailed and said, how's Nicole and Lisa? How's the marriage?
We're awesome. We're absolutely awesome.
That's what I answered in the email, but I said maybe I should. I said,
yeah,
really?
No. I mean, married life is absolutely great, and you know we're making moves, and we're, you know, I don't know, we're growing as a couple, which is always very very nice. We still have not had a fight, which is good.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, it's really really cool. And what I think makes it like the most awesome is that like we really really appreciate each other. We really really appreciate our marriage. We appreciate where, you know, we're at in life. And she was cute because the other day, you know, she says to me, she's like, you don't even realize that you do this. And I mean, and she said it to me more than once. And I don't know if I've ever said it on the show before, but most, you know, more recently, she said to me, she's like, you don't even realize what you do when you're half asleep. Because I guess I'm a little bit of like a sleep talker. Or, like, she'll ask me questions when I'm sleeping, and I'll answer her. But she's like, every morning when I snooze the alarm for the first time, I roll over, and I just go, I love my wife. And I just, like, and I just kind of, like, hug her, and I'm still sleeping when I'm doing it. She's like, I never have to question whether or not you love me, because when you're unconscious, you even say it. So.
Now, that is really sweet, and you appreciate that you roll over, and there she is. And I'm going to comment on you saying you don't fight, because TJ and I don't fight either. And I think part of the Grant Me a Higher Love philosophy is really learning to say what you mean what you say, and don't be mean about it. And
I think
if you do that,
don't get me wrong. It's not like it's all flowers and daisies where we never disagree. It's just our disagreements never turn into fights. We constructively have a conversation, and at times we have to agree to disagree, and other times, you know, we see each other's point of view and we respect it, you know. But it's just, you know, it's not like, you know, you have to get along, because I don't want people to mistake that, you know, that oh my God, like in order to have a good marriage or anything, that, you know, you have to agree all the time, you have to be, you know, you have to think what they think and feel what they feel, and that's not the case. You know, we differ on plenty of things. It's just that we understand the differences that we have, and we respect the differences that we have. We respect the fact that we are two completely separate people that together make up a unit. She does not lose herself just because she got married. I do not lose myself just because I got married. We're still two individuals, and we have that level of respect there for one another. And when it comes time for a disagreement, we're constructive about it. You know, it's hey, listen, you know, how are you feeling about this? Because this is the way that I'm feeling. And we don't interrupt, and we communicate, and I let her speak. Even if I hate what she's saying, I'm not thinking about what I'm going to say back. I'm actually hearing her, you know, and the same thing with, you know, it goes in reverse. She might hate what I'm saying, and she might not appreciate it, but she's not busy thinking about what the rebuttal is going to be. She's actually hearing me.
And that's really important, listening, hearing. And again, you know, I posted something on Facebook the other day that I shared, and it was, you know, you don't have to agree on anything to be kind. You know, so it's
of course.
Like, just, you know, be kind. And of course, nobody's going to agree on 1,000% of stuff. Nobody, you know, there's so many things that, like, people will say about TJ. Oh, he must get readings. I go, TJ doesn't get a reading. I don't even know if TJ believes, doesn't believe what the whole thing is with this. It doesn't matter to me, okay? I do enough people have to read. Do I want a husband that wants me to read him all the time? No.
Nope.
Is he respectful of what I do? Yes. Is he the biggest fan of it? Does he promote it? Yes, but... you know, we don't have to agree with every philosophy that people have or everything, because it really doesn't matter, you know. And
it'll drive you crazy.
And, you know, all of us, you know, come to truth somewhere along the line. And truth is truth, you know, no matter what, it's truth. But sometimes we just need to see things for ourselves before we can believe, or we can, you know, have, you know, go, okay, now I know what that's about. So a lot of times, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone, they may not just be at the same place that you are about a thing, and you can't force people to see things. They have to see them for themselves.
No.
As long as people respect each other, that's the important thing. And, you know, from why good people can't leave bad relationships, that, you know, bad relationships just get worse and worse, and people tend to stay way too long in them. And what we're trying to push here is, let's stay in our good relationships. Let's make the good ones last. That's what we want to see, the good ones lasting. You know, it hurts me when I see a good relationship that falls apart. That's what bothers me the most. It was a good relationship. They started to think they have to agree on everything, and then they're disagreeing on everything, and then they just, like, end a relationship. And they didn't realize.
Or they just lose each other. They lose who they are.
Exactly. And you have to always remember, you are two individuals standing emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually, hopefully separately. And you come together, mm-hmm. and you form a stronger unit. But, you know, you don't become enmeshed with each other. And you retain your individuality. That's really important. It's really important. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things for women, by the way. You know,
mm-hmm.
because women tend to, you know, they want to be people pleasers. They, you know, they want everybody to like them. So they, you know, they go along with whatever the man might want to do, or whatever, you know, their mate might want to do, rather than, you know, it's okay if you don't want to do something. If you don't like something, you don't have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Well,
you don't
mean,
stop
it's...
your mate.
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, there's a difference between embracing somebody else, you know, and embracing, you know, what their hobbies are, and embracing, you know, like, you know, prime example of this is that I'm not really huge on, like, horror movies. I'm not really huge on, and I'm using this as just, like, a minor example, by the way. You know, I'm not big on any of that stuff. Lisa is, you know, she loves zombies and she loves all that crap, you know, and to me, it's just that, it's crap, you know, but guess what? You know, I've watched more than my share of zombie movies. It's not that I'm going to start buying action figures the way that she does, or that I'm going to start collecting items, you know, and movie memorabilia the way that she does. I watch it. because I respect that it's what she wants for that period of time. And I just kind of got to suck it up for a little bit, you know? And she does the same in reverse to me with my sports. You know, I'm a sports fan. I like watching my hockey. I like watching my football games. Well, actually, football we agree on. But I like watching my hockey games. So you know what? During playoff season, when I'm watching 10,000 games a week, she's sitting right next to me, and she's like, who are we rooting for, the blue or the red? And I go, okay, and I tell her who we're rooting for, and she sits there and she sucks it up. You know? You know, and it's a happy compromise. And then other times when we don't want to suck it up, I say, hun, you watch what you want to watch. I'll be in the bedroom doing something else, or I'll be elsewhere in the house. And she'll do the same thing, you know? So it's a happy medium. You can embrace what somebody else likes without allowing their likes to become your likes.
Exactly. And you also can, people need to have their separate hobbies, their separate interests.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and people need their alone time. And that's something you can't forget as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
People do need, their quiet time or their space. I know I'm a person that likes a lot of quiet, and I really do crave quiet. And TJ likes a lot more noise. I mean, that's, he grew up in a noisy family, noise. But what he'll do is put his headphones on and listen to his music, and plenty of loud noise, but I'm not hearing it.
Exactly. There's a happy
He's happy and I'm happy.
There.
He's happy and I'm happy, So, well, we do have a lot of listeners tonight, and you always our listeners what they have to do if they want to talk to us.
Yes, listeners, if you want to talk to us, what you need to do is you need to press the number 1 on your dial, and then I get a lovely, lovely little message that your number wishes to speak to us, and then I can put you on the air. So I was actually surprised how many callers we have in the dashboard right now, Cindy, and I'm sure that a lot of those people will be pressing number 1 soon. What's that? A lot of people are in there right now.
They have
to
be regular
listeners. So let's jump into... Oh, yes.
A vlog.
So let's jump into the first call. What's that?
At least regular listeners of Blog Talk Radio, maybe not even our show, but it's pretty similar with all of Blog Talk. So.
Yes, definitely. So, all right, so we're going to jump into the first caller. As usual, I do not screen the first caller. Hopefully the person that is behind that number is sane and is going to behave accordingly. If not, then they're going to get booted. But let's cruise over to the 917 area code, which I believe is New York, just so that you know that I am speaking to you. I'm going to identify you by the last 4 digits of your number. So please answer us when we say that. So hello, 0557, you are on the air.
Oh, my God. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, are you there? Hi, what's your name?
Yeah, I'm here. Anna.
Anna?
Hi, Anna.
Where are you calling from, Anna?
Hello, I can't really hear. I'm sorry.
Hi, Anna. Anna's calling from New York. I know who Anna is.
Yeah.
Hello, Anna. How's my Anna?
Good, good.
I love
I
Anna.
I had many readings from you already. So.
And like all of my clients who have many readings from me, they know I love them and they're my friend. And I'm so happy you called in, because I know, you've been going through a little bit of a hard time. So why don't you just tell our listeners what you need some guidance on?
I just wanted a general reading about the future.
Okay, good.
I've just been wondering about myself more lately. I don't know why.
Because you've been getting readings, and I've been telling Anna to pray to do its best for everyone, including herself, for a change. And suddenly, you start mattering. It's funny how, Anna starts wondering, what does Anna want in the future? Where does she want to go? What's going on here is I see some of, the angst and anxiety that you've been experiencing, and some of that low-grade depression. It's very common in women because, they put everybody first, children, husbands, parents, everybody, that they suffer from. And you're getting to the age where you have to kind of put yourself a little bit first. But what I see is a really nice 5-year period opening up, pretty much you knowing where you yourself want to be. You're a very good mother, by the way. I hope you know that.
Thank you.
Okay, you're a really good mom. And we don't have to be perfect mothers. We don't have to be perfect. My generation was what I call the Santa Claus parents, and we've raised the millennials, and boy, we gave them everything. And they're a miserable generation in the latest study. So we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be good enough, and you certainly are. Are you still, you know, trying to work on your marriage?
It's okay. I mean, I guess it's the same.
Okay, I mean, you're laughing because it's not easy when, you know, first of all, you have a number of children and you have a young child. It's hard marriage them. You know, you got children, he's work, there's a lot involved. But have you discussed a move? What I'm seeing is there's a really strong possibility you can get that move that you wanted. Have you been talking about that with him?
We have, but there is a house that he's interested, but it's still in the same area. But I'm not sure if we're gonna really go for it.
Okay,
would
the kids
pricey,
go to the same?
So.
Would the kids go to the same schools?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't really solve what you wanted to sort of get out of there.
No.
So, I mean, you know, it might be a better house for you, but really things look really pretty good in your cards in terms of you. Are you starting to feel like you're liking yourself better? You coming to that place of self-love yet, Anna? We want you to come to the place of self-love
for
women.
Yeah, I'm just telling myself, like, not to give a crap about what people think.
Thank
just
you.
Just to care about myself.
Because thank you, because part of why good people can't leave bad relationships, part of why they, you know, what's wrong with good people is they really care too much what everybody has to say. And they really do want everybody to like them. And in a world where 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great, you know, it's really almost impossible to have everybody like us. And, you know, I think you should just try being more who you are. And you really are a very intelligent, nice person. And be you. I see some new friends here. Would you like that? There's new friends in the future. And,
yeah, that would be nice.
And you almost feeling a sense of community more than you have now. And I know it's very hard to be a young mother, and I've told you this and tell our listeners. You know, you live in a neighborhood. You know, sometimes it's a little cliquey in neighborhoods, and sometimes it's a little hard to break into those cliques, or you feel like you never can. And it's a little uncomfortable. But what I'm seeing is, you know, you're going to have like one or two nice women here that that'll be enough to make you feel like, oh, this is a good place. And are you working on some of your worrying because you're a worrier? Are you trying not to worry so much?
Yeah, like I'm just not caring about what people think, basically.
Good. Isn't that liberating? Doesn't that feel great?
Yeah, because it's not like I'm going to go home with them and bother with them after.
And it's not like your world
changes.
Like,
who cares? Yeah, exactly.
We have to start realizing they don't pay our bills, and they don't really have any influence on us whatsoever other than to make us feel insecure. And, you know, something about women is sometimes they can be very disempowering of other women. And that's part of what I found, you know, when I was a young mother, I didn't particularly like that because I'm very empowering of women. You know, I'll talk to anybody. I always want to be there for them and be their best cheerleader. But I would find it, I didn't always feel that way, but other people were like that. You know, so I think it's hard.
I think sometimes they have their own issues, and that's why.
Thank you. And you can't take it personally.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, see, if you're growing up, that's what you have to know. It's not about us. It's about them, especially if they're narcissists. It's always about them. And sometimes it's that other people are unhappy. They're not happy in their marriages. They have a lot of problems we don't know about. So sometimes not taking it personally. I think people are very busy now. So and because everybody has their own cars and their own things, they don't really need people as much as they used to need. You know, when I was growing up, the mothers, you know, nobody had two cars. People had like one car and, you know, they'd have to borrow things because the store was kind of far away and they'd help each other with kids. And, you know, there was just more of a feeling of people helping other people. It's not like that now. I think people have their own friends and they don't need to make new friends. So sometimes you're trying to be friendly with these people and they're not letting you in. So that's when you say, okay, they don't want me. I'll try something else. But I'm not seeing anything bad in your cards. These are like the best cards I've seen with you, for you, by the way. And mostly it's just finding We have to be happy where we are. Sometimes, you know, we just can't pull a geographic and always run, although sometimes that's an easy solution. But I'm seeing you really have very good cards. When is your birthday? Just the month and the day.
9/3.
Okay. By the time you get to September, more of this kind of peaceful thoughts, being happy with you is going to be there. And, you know, you really have a nice year ahead of you. So there is going back to work in the future. That's something I know you want to do. And that's maybe a few years down the line. So are you getting ready to go back to work?
I'm not really thinking about it yet, but eventually.
Right. And that, you know, and that's where you get back in a professional world. But your cards are really, really good. And you sound much better than you ever have sounded before. And, you know, part of it is just really, you know, realizing that not everybody's going to like us and we don't have to like them. But you still be nice to people, you know. You smile, you say hello. And, you know, nothing is bad in your cards, by the way. Really, you have really good cards. So could your kids look good? You need to just relax. And, you know, I'm glad you called in because I love your energy, and I think I've seen you grow as a human being a lot in the time that I've known you. Do you feel yourself growing?
Yeah, I tell myself to calm down. So
it's one of the things that dead people say to me all the time.
You know, I just try to have a sense of humor sometimes.
Yeah, you have a great sense of humor. That's what I love about you. I told you that. You're so funny. And the dead people are very funny. They're always telling us to relax. That's all they ever say to me is, Cindy, would you relax? Would you calm down? Really, Cindy? Come on, calm down. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're dead. We're here, you know. We got to deal with this stuff. But they pretty much say it's not the stuff that you realize when you die, it didn't matter. It really didn't matter. So,
right.
Again, you'll start making some new friends. And it's just nice to have some friends as a mom and in the neighborhood and things like that. It always feels really, you know, nice. But I think so many of my female clients who are moms say the same thing, that they, you know, they don't really feel like they're being embraced by other women a lot. And I say, well, I guess that's the way it is, but you will find yourself making just one or two really good friends, and that'll make it easier for you. So you will call in again, or I will speak to you. And I love when you email me. All of my clients know, email me. Keep me abreast of what's going on. But if you want, there's nothing bad in your cards, by the way. You have really good cards. And those people who are listening who just had readings with me know I tell horrible stuff. So, like, I can't even believe people tell me, you know, pay me for the stuff I sometimes have to tell them. You have good cards. So this is a good summer coming up for you, by the way.
Oh, okay.
You looking forward to that?
Yeah, I guess.
I always really found it easier when my daughter was not in school, in all honesty. I actually liked it better when she wasn't in school. I liked her home. She was calmer, you know. So, you know, I think you're going to enjoy your children this summer.
Yeah, I will.
Well, you'll call in again, and we're going to try to get some other callers. And thank you, Anna, for calling
thank
in and
you.
Sharing
thank
some
you.
Of your...
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Nicole, do you find that sometimes with women it's hard to, like, make friends, or sometimes it just it's hard? It's not always easy in, like, a group setting. And, you know, when you're a mom and, you know, you want your children to have friends and you want to, you know, you want to be friendly. I just found it really didn't go that well for me when Shauna was little. And I'm a pretty easy person to talk to, by the way. I mean, you know, people pay to talk to me. I couldn't get those mothers in that neighborhood when Shauna was little to talk to me at all. So I was like, And, you know, after a while, you know, I'd make one or two friends, and that made it better. But, you know, sometimes you just didn't, I don't know, it's something about the suburbs sometimes that it's harder to make friends.
I think women are very, very cliquey in the suburbs.
Yep. And if you happen to have just moved into a neighborhood like I did, and you know, you didn't sort of get into the cliques, you know, and you know, I tried, and after a while, just this isn't working. So I'll just, you know, and after a while, sometimes, you know, you just step back. Sometimes people will approach you, or, you know, the people that like Shauna, her friends, and then I would get friendly with their moms and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a little bit lonely because when you're a stay-home mom, you would really like to have some more mom friends maybe, you know?
Yes, kind of. Absolutely.
Well, we do have, you screened some people here, so.
Yes,
why don't
I have.
You tell us what's going on here.
Alrighty then. Well, for right now, we are going to go to Julia, and Julia is in Florida. And Julia has heard about your love life, Cindy. She's heard about my love life. And now she wants to know, when the hell is she going to have that?
I love this Julia already. I love her.
So let's see what Julia has to say in Florida. Hello, Julia. You're on the air.
Hey, ladies.
Hi, Julia.
How are you?
I just love your question. And part of it is wanting love. Like, I like that you're saying, when is it coming? I want it. Because, you know, love comes to those who believe. You know, that's the Celine Dion song, and it really is true. You've still got to believe in the possibility of love. And the card that I got for you is a soulmate card, a very, like, healing, wonderful love. You need a little bit of courage to, like, let this in. Across from that, I got a card that indicates that you haven't always picked the best people in the past, have you?
Yes, or I'm one of those good people who stayed too long.
And one of those good
choir girls.
And one of those good people that are magnets for the unfixables, the narcissists who judge others. We're like magnets. They can scope us out in a room of 1,000. And then they lie to us 4,000 times in the first hour. And we're like, oh, really? Oh. And we make excuses for abuse. And we see the good in them. And we think we're going to fix them. Did you get all that out of your system?
Yes.
You're not fixing anybody anymore. You know you can't fix them. Okay, you realize you can't fix people. And this person does not need fixing, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And older souls, and you're a very old soul, older souls by nature, you know, really are like almost too good. And we're what I call the great crap takers. We take a lot of crap from everybody. And we're enablers. And we're the donkey people who work really hard. And those traits don't serve us well until we come to the place of self-love. And that's something that's been beaten out of older souls. And that, if you heard me talking to Anna, I try to get my clients to come to that place of self-love. They always put everybody first, you know, everybody else matters. And are you starting now to come to that place of loving yourself, Julia? Have you gotten there?
Yes,
hooray!
I am, finally.
Hooray!
It's taken me a while, but I am getting there.
Okay, so that's, and these traits that are so you, you can stop kicking yourself in the head, like, what kind of an idiot am I? They're traits of people who have had a lot of lifetimes in the last couple of thousand years of Judeo-Christian, Old Testament, New Testament. They're actually brainwashed to be just too good. And to see the good, give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and not trust their gut, something's not kosher. They don't have any self-love. They're martyrs. And it hasn't served me well. I was a little slow learner. It probably took me 50 years of my life to realize, what's in it for me with all this? How's this worked out for me, being too good? And too loyal, very loyal. We're people of our word, and we don't walk away fast enough. And I think you were a little afraid to get involved in a relationship until you really know you're not the same woman that you used to be. Are you in agreement with that?
Yes, I think I'm your twin.
Okay. Oh, I love this. I love it. Now, you could just know that we're just old souls with the same personality traits, and you think, here I thought I was so unique me. It's so fundamentally true. Every person who's an old soul, when I tell those traits, they go, that's me. You know me so well. I go, nope, I just know you're brainwashing so well. And now you're going to have one little warning that even though the rose-colored glasses are off and the blinders are off, they do tend to go on when we like people. So when we're, like, in an alleyway and, you know, we're walking down the alleyway, you would say to me, oh, my God, that guy's a rapist. And we would be right because, we go, oh. But if we met him in a bar and he schmoozed us over, we'd be going, isn't he a nice guy? Like, so it's really scary. So what you're going to have to do is just, you know, proceed with a little caution. I don't want you jaded, though, because jaded people, love does not come to jaded people, because then you don't trust anybody. So it's, there's a fine line between jaded and just trusting your gut. So, you know, if you're talking to someone and he seems really great and you're liking him, but your gut's kind of saying something's not right here, just pay attention to the gut. And then look for the red flags. Now, I'm not sure how old you are, if you want to just give me a ballpark figure there.
I'm 54.
Okay, good. I don't mind telling my age because the village idiot could Google it and find out. So what am I going to lie about that for? Okay, but I figured you were probably over the age of 50 because it takes until 50 for the rose-colored glasses to really come off in a lot of older souls. And, you know, what you want to do is, you know, trust your gut that something's not right. Pay attention to the red flags. But any man who's close to your age, who's really the prince that's going to become the beast, can't sustain the bullshit for more than 3 months. So you will know it relatively quickly. They really can't pretend to be who they aren't for more than 3 months anymore. So you would need to just, you know, be a little careful, cautious. It's also good to Google someone's name if you're not sure, find out what's going on. But now you're going to have this soulmate, but Julia, what are you doing to find anybody?
Well, actually, I'm wanting to move. I actually live like in Central Florida, but I want to move like closer to like the Gulf Coast side, the western side of the state. So I figure once I get myself moved and get situated and, you know, get working and all that stuff, I want to start like finding like meetup groups and maybe
Great.
Find like a church or some activity.
Perfect.
To get me
Perfect.
Out.
And that little voice telling you you need to move
mm-hmm.
is your spirit guide's telling you your soulmate is where the move is, by the way.
Okay.
And it could be linked to you finding your new job. And you're sort of at that point where God's saying, Julia, choose again. You've done everything right and you've been miserable. So why don't we choose again? Why don't we figure out what we've done wrong? And the only thing you've done wrong is just be too good. That's all you've done. And not love yourself enough and take too much crap. And, you know, you got to get the rose-colored glasses off. Now you're being told to move, to get that new job. You could meet him through the job, through someone at the job. Meetups are great. I mean, there's oftentimes a lot of, like, fundraisers and things that you could go to that you can meet really nice people. So it's getting out there in the world, but it shouldn't be very hard for you to find him. When are you planning on moving?
Actually, I was going to see if you got a hit on that. I was maybe hoping before my birthday in September.
Okay, good, because I love that you mentioned your birthday. When I keep asking people their birthdays, it's very important because your new year goes from one birthday to the next.
Yeah, mine's
and,
September 16th.
Okay, so you're supposed to be opening – that's wonderful. You're supposed to be opening up a whole new life with this September 16th birthday. So you might want to just start readying yourself for the move. Are you getting rid of stuff you don't want to take with you and everything like that? Are you getting ready? It's important to sort of prepare yourself for the move and do little things each day to get yourself moving. Are you putting out resumes to find a job in that area before you move?
No, what I've been doing is, like, taking day trips. I'm trying to, like, narrow down exactly where I want to move to, so that way I kind of have a quasi-plan. I know I want to move, like, north of the Tampa area, like, north of Clearwater, up, so like the suburbs of Tampa, because I'm not really a big city girl. I'm more of a suburb kind of girl.
Good.
But,
so you know yourself, and the move looks great, and you have to kind of trust your gut on this, too. You're going to have to, like, you know, you go to a place or a town, and you just, something inside you goes, this is it. You're not sure why. You're just saying, this really resonates with me. Because, you know, you're getting a lot of divine guidance, by the way. Whose dad has passed away?
My ex's.
Okay.
I never met my biological father, so I don't
okay.
know
if he's... I think this, by the way, is your ex's father.
Okay.
He's pretty apologetic to you about a lot of stuff. And, you know, he's pretty much telling you you're not the same person you were when you were with his son, by the way. You know,
good.
you've learned a lot. And he liked you, this man. Did you like him? He likes you.
I never met him. He was actually killed in an accident before I married his son, within a year before we met.
That would explain why he knows you, because soulmate love always comes from God and someone who died. And he had brought you as a wake-up call for his son through love, through soulmate love, hoping that his son would, learn through love. And he was the one who also helped you get out of the marriage later on, because, you know, he realized you didn't deserve to get what you were getting. And, you know, he helped you in and he helped you out. He's saying to you, now you're free to find another soulmate. I think you and your husband were soulmates when you first met. Do you remember really loving him when you first met him?
Yeah, I felt like there was a connection there, just kind of the way we met and everything. It just sort of,
Right. When you first met, there was a heart, soul, mind, body connection. 45% of people are offered soulmate love, 1% maintain it. You know, he wasn't committed to healing your husband, and love started dragging down the ladder, sometimes to toxics. Mostly you shut up a lot. And we have more than one soulmate, which is the good news. But the one that's being brought to you is a man who's learned the same lessons you've learned. Okay, he's not an unfixable. He's not a narcissist who judges others. He doesn't have addictions. He's a good man who had to learn what you learned. This man appears to have fallen for the princess that became the beast. He had no idea what he signed on for with her. He stayed too long. He tried to fix her. He took a lot of crap. Now he's finally realizing, I want to be with a good person. So two genuinely good people, it's like what Nicole was describing about her relationship and I describe about mine. When two good people are together, love is really very easy. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. Nobody's lying. Nobody's cheating. Nobody's drinking. Nobody's drugging. Nobody's whoring. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Life is easy. It's so incredibly easy, two good people together. Wouldn't you like that? Because this is a very good man being brought. Doesn't that sound easy? He works hard. He's 50-something years old, and he has something to show for his life. He's not running around saying, I have no money, it's not my fault, yada, yada. I mean, he's such a good guy. And, you're really ready for that. You have to get some of your childhood out of your system, by the way, because if we have a father who's not great and you never knew your dad and, sometimes we're wondering why daddy couldn't stay. Like if we were married, we'd fix him. He'd stay. We'd be so lovey-dovey. Are you beginning to realize there's some people you just can't fix? And your biological dad was one of those people, by the way. But he loved you enough to leave you, which is amazing. Because normally, historically, fathers stuck around and sexually abused their children, beat them, did whatever they wanted when they were bad. They actually took all their rage out on their children. Your dad loved you enough to leave you alone. And, if you look at it that way, you won't have any abandonment issues. You'll say, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that a lot better than him sticking
your... looking at it.
Right, and that's what it was. And, for you is this wonderful soulmate. He's smart. He's hardworking. Oh, you're going to love this, Julia. He's generous.
Oh, nice.
He's generous. And you have really, really, really good cards. So, follow your gut. The move looks like doing it sooner than later would be good. Have you felt that, feeling yet that in a town that you've been that feels like it's home or it could be home? Did you get that at all?
Yeah, but I've looked on both sides of the state because I want to be closer to the water because I'm really drawn to the water. At this point in my life, it's really tranquil and peaceful, and I just like the mellow vibe I get when I'm just standing there and looking out at the water. And so I'm.
And
really
you know that dead people love that too. They're allowed down on Earth 100 hours a month. They go by the water a lot. They like just to be there. It's very peaceful, and you're right. So you're being guided whether you know it or not. Okay, you like water. Go with the water. They're trying to have you follow. The path of love and passion. I love the water. I want to live where I want to live. I want a good job. I want a good love. instead mm-hmm. of fear. Most of your life, you follow the path of fear, as everybody does. And, you know, it's a fear of abandonment, fear of being alone, fear of what people will say, fear of judgment. Are you beginning to be like what Anna said, you're caring less about that and more about what you want?
Yes. Yes, I'm
that's when life. You know what
I'm
talking about. We're all the same that way. We want everybody to like us. We feel bad they don't like us. Now you're following. Just keep following. You know that gut. I believe that in the next month or two, you should stumble across a place that you're gonna. Now I don't know if it's gonna be a past life recollection of a place. You can say, oh, this really resonates with me. This mm-hmm. I want to be here. You know, in my life, I bought two homes, and I've only looked at two homes. Okay,
oh, wow.
So I always like kind of by the time I was looking for a house, I really had a clear where I wanted to be, what I wanted mm-hmm. the house to be, and then it just sort of manifested. And I didn't look at 1,000 more. I just said, "This is it." And I
wow.
never regretted any of those decisions. So I think. When you find where you need to go, and it's not just where you want to live, it's where your love is, too. So you will kind of say, oh, this is it. You'll just feel like this is the place. So you've got a really, really good future ahead of you. You've got a really good 5-year period ahead of you. Pretty much anything you want is yours. You'll have a certain amount of anxiety when you move because older souls are kind of control freaks and they don't like change. They tend to
mm-hmm.
like the devil they know. So change always brings anxiety. That's such a wonderful trait. We're not very good risk takers, okay? It's got to be so calculated.
Yeah.
You've got to weigh everything out, okay?
Yeah.
But you've got to weigh out everything, and then you're going to just take that leap of faith, do it in spite of fear, because you have courage. When you were little, you had a lot of courage, and you need to get that courage back. So
yeah.
It's an adventure. Life is an adventure. And you know, I'm so glad you called into our show.
Me too.
A mother figure in the room whose mom passed away.
It's my grandmother.
Your grandmother, because she resonates. She loves you so much.
I love her
and
too.
She
was like a mom to me.
She
yeah.
resonates more like a mother than a mother, okay?
Yes.
That's what a grandmother who's raised us, loved us, supported us, been our biggest fan is like.
Yes.
She's the one who told me you had a lot of courage when you were little. The fear is something you've learned now in life, but it isn't something that you came into life with. So you need to muster up that courage.
Okay.
So you're going to work on that.
and
did your grandma have trouble walking at the end of her life, by the way?
Yeah. Yes, she did.
Okay, because she just gave me such a pain in my leg to say, and I went, okay, you could stop the pain. I got the message. You had trouble
yeah.
walking. Okay.
Yeah.
And she would want to have been here longer, but not being a burden. Like if she couldn't walk, function, she didn't want anybody taking care of her, wiping her butt. She was one of those people, she had to be here to work and serve. And if she couldn't be that, she wasn't going to be here anymore.
Yes.
But you can certainly ask her for help.
Okay.
And she's the one going, this time it's me picking the soulmate. Okay?
Oh.
Do you trust that grandma will bring somebody really good?
I think so, yeah.
She would bring you someone really, really,
she's
really good.
She's got a higher perspective now. So
right.
Think,
and,
you know.
And just to give you a little heads up, it's not like they can pick from a billion souls on Earth. It's
mm-hmm.
You have probably three or four soulmates available. And
mm-hmm.
from those three or four, she's able to pick the one she believes to be best. But it's already been picked by God, you know, three or four perfect soulmates for you. So
mm-hmm.
even, she couldn't really do anything wrong because you could throw darts. All of them are good. But because she's saying, oh, I wouldn't take that awesome responsibility of picking. How would I know which one to pick, you know? But she's a pretty modest lady. But this is a really good man. So
I'm definitely
you
feel really good. That'll be a
so
nice
you'll,
change.
Now, how did you find our show? Do you just were looking on Blog Talk or?
No. As a matter of fact, I talked to you before I filed for divorce, and we had a nice conversation, and you basically, you know, said it was time, and so So it was, you know, I filed in September 2014, so it's been that
so
long.
So you are this excellent jeweler. I thought you were because I recognized your grandma. Funny, I don't recognize living people. That's really frightening to me, okay? But I recognized your grandmother, that she had guided you. And she told me, you got to ask her this question because she is so happy that you followed the guidance and the advice to get the divorce. You didn't want change, you stayed too long, but how's it feel now? Does it feel good?
Yes. I'm glad I did it. It was hell to go through, but I'm glad I'm on the other side.
Okay, so you are a person that called for guidance, and you know I hit hard with people. I don't have to, you know, I called your ex an unfixable, and there was no way he was going to change. And you really listened, and because of that, now you've opened yourself up to what God really wants to give you. So, I mean, I'm so glad you called into our show because your grandma kept saying to me, you know Julia, and I'm like, okay.
Aww.
And she is so proud of you, so proud of you. And I'm proud of you, by the way,
thank
you. That you listened.
That.
And it's, you know, it's funny because there are times when, you know, I work hard to keep people together, couples together. There's other times where I work very hard to get a good person to walk away from a bad person. And, you know, it's not easy for good people. It is so hard. And a divorce is an earthquake, emotionally, psychologically, financially, spiritually, an earthquake. But the harder path is just, in the long run is the beginning we like to take the easier path. This means I want to stay married, I'm not rocking the boat, but that's the harder path ultimately because your life sucks. The harder, easier path is to do the earthquake of divorce, and then the rest of your life is infinitely easier. So, you know, I was just here today to reinforce, you know, you're not the same person that picked your husband. You're older, we're wiser. We can see who we're going to fix and not fix. And I always tell people, you know, really it's narcissistic of us to believe we can fix people. God doesn't have a clue how to fix people. Doesn't give up, gives them wake-up calls, us coming in their life, us leaving, rehab, jail. These people wake up when the gun's at their head, and then they just can't sustain it. So this is the best man in the deck that's being brought, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Well, good luck to you,
and
thank you
so
much for sharing. I love your laugh. I love your energy. You sound entirely different energy-wise than when I talked to you two years ago, by the way.
Yeah.
It's why I didn't really recognize you so much at first, because you were, you know, much more angst-filled. You know, you were really, you know, filled with, like, you know, all this anxiety. And now you're just like, life is pretty good.
Yes.
Hey, it's like amazing.
This is wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to it. So thank you.
Well, good luck to you, and call in again and let us know when this love manifests.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay,
bye. And take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, so you can see the difference we make here.
Yep.
That people actually go through with their divorces. They actually go through changing their life. Don't you think that's amazing?
Yes, absolutely. I like seeing everything like an action.
It stuns me. It stuns me that people will sometimes send emails how, you know, we've changed their life or how it's, you know, they've moved forward and they never could. And it reinforces that what we're teaching and what we're doing is correct because, you know, our clients, our listeners, they get happier. They get better. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. I just love it. And now we have Christine. Okay. You want to tell me about Christine?
Yeah, we had Claudia, I think. And she disappeared on me. I don't know. So Christine is the lucky
woman.
Oh,
you know, sometimes people are not able to talk. Maybe somebody came in the house or something. You know what I mean? And they wanted it to be private. So I always look at it like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, I look at it as that somebody up there wanted Christine on the show today, because had Claudia not dropped off, then Christine's question would not have been able to have this opportunity to get answered today. So I think that maybe there was a little bit of intervention there in our electronics and that somebody wanted Christine to talk. So
Here we go to Christine. She is in Bayshore, New York, and she's got relationship and career questions for you, Cindy. So hopefully her cards say something awesome.
Okay, good.
Hello, Christine. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Christine. So, you know, you have something on your mind, so you might just want to, like, throw it out to me and tell me what you want, what you need to know.
Okay. Well, I had a reading with you quite a number of years ago, and I listened to your show. Actually, I've been trying to get onto your show, and it was lucky enough I thought I lost you, and then I was able to get back in the queue, and I got through. So maybe
okay,
it was.
Okay. Also, just to let you know, if you ever want to get through, you can contact me via my website, Grant Me a Higher Love, or via email, you know, CindyBella1
at
yahoo.com. And I try to put people through, if you just let me know, like, that day.
Oh, okay.
Because, so, you know, just so you know, because...
Oh, very good.
So you spoke a few years ago, and now what's going on?
I'm just trying to see if you had told me a few things back then. I'm still in the current relationship, and I'm just trying to see if it's going nowhere or if something's going to happen, because a
okay.
few things have changed a little, so I'm just trying to see.
How long have you been with this person?
This time around,
yeah.
4 years.
Okay, and all together?
I've known him since I was about 17, 18 years old, and
so how many So how many years would that be also? Because relationships work in five-year cycles, so it's pretty important.
See. I was together with him the first time 10 years, and this time 4.
Okay, so you can see, and then you've known him for a long time too.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so the 4 onto 5 is when God starts saying, Christine, fix it or leave it, do something. Okay, God is pretty patient as we coast and try to stumble our way through things. But around the 4-year mark, God starts saying, okay, something's got to give. There's a lot of anxiety in these showing these cards and worry. Are you worried about the relationship a lot?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so love is supposed to really bring us peace and joy. It isn't really supposed to bring us anxiety and worry. There's no lack of love in these cards. I will tell you this. This man loves you. And, you know, he would want to spend the rest of his life with you. But, you know, I'm not so sure you're going to want to spend the rest of your life with him if he doesn't do some changes. And
yeah.
okay, so, you know, it's with that piece of knowledge that he wants you in his life, you're going to have to, like, say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it. You're going to pretty much have to stop being the peacemaker and rock the boat a little bit. Have you been trying that lately?
Yeah, I've been basically putting my foot down on a lot of things, and, you know, he's improving as far as the way he, you know, speaks to me and treats me and stuff, but he is a narcissist, so it's very difficult. And I am the total opposite.
Oh, yeah. You're my good to a fault people that enable
yeah.
everybody, that we take yeah. the crap, that we make excuses for abuse, that we think we're going to fix these people. And if we love them enough, they're going to
wake up.
Oh,
I know I'm not going to fix them. Ship has sailed.
No. And whose dad is gone, by the way? Whose father has passed away?
Both of ours.
Okay, because this one, I got two fathers in the room, so I'm glad it's his and yours, okay, because at least mm-hmm. we know where they belong. Do you miss your dad, by the way?
I do.
Okay, because your dad is saying, I want you to love yourself the way he loves you. And he's not claiming to have been perfect, by the way.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Okay, thank you. He says, I got to be truthful here, okay? But, you know, some people are better when they go to the other side. They don't have their addictions. They don't have a body. They don't have, you know, they healed their issues. Your dad's one of those people who's mm-hmm. much better dead than he probably was alive, okay? He's laughing.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm funny. He just said, well, that's funny. So he gets a kick out of me. He doesn't mind me saying that because he just wants to make sure you know it's your dad, okay?
Yeah.
But he wants you to love yourself the way he loves you now, the way you would love your children. He's not loving the man you're with, okay, pretty much. Now, you know, you're being told, you know, you got to start loving yourself a little bit. So putting yourself first. He doesn't want you to leave, but I'm not so sure you're going to be able to tolerate this forever. Because
that's kind of the direction I'm going.
He changes on the surface. What narcissists do is when we're really fed up, when they can't twist and turn the truth anymore, they do change a little on the surface. You know, what you would want him to do is at least behavior modification, which means he's not going to want deep psychological counseling. He's too old. It might even make a difference at this point. But he has to behave differently. And through that behavior modification, sometimes people can change a little bit. That's the best you can hope for him, is what he's doing now, saying things a little better, being a bit. But narcissists don't really change, okay? They stay the same. You know, you're a nice person. This relationship should have been really much more toxic. His dad, who was, you know, I don't know if you knew him, but, boy, he seemed like a doozy, this one.
I knew him for a brief period of time.
Okay. I mean, he's, you know, pretty much saying, you know, my son isn't going to change. He is who he is at this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can either, you have a choice, accept the way he is with some behavior modification in which he may behave better. And if you love him and that works, then that's good. But you can't just shut up anymore. Because shutting up is not a recipe for illness. You know, you want to get cancer, just keep shutting up.
Mm-hmm.
It's anger turned inward. It's a feeling of hopelessness, depression that becomes cancer. So, you know, you're the one who I see leaving him, him not leaving you. And I know are you trying to find another job too? Is that what's going on in your
life? I have been searching because I've been at the job almost in the same amount of time I've been back with him. The same year I got a new job and I was with him in that same year, but this job isn't cutting it. So I've been looking, but nothing's been panning out. I'm trying to see if what's happening in that direction.
Right. And it seems to me that your whole life needs a shaking up, by the way. And, you know, again, jobs, anything, every 5 years, God evaluates where we are. And he starts saying, you know, getting another job is important for you, because I see you getting another job, by the way, more money. Older souls are the donkey people. We work our asses off, least paid of anybody. Only 30% of people are the donkey people, and we do 80% of the world's work, by the way. The other 20% is done fraudulently or wrong, by the way, but you know, you if you're going to work that hard, you deserve to make more money. Are you aware of that?
Sure. Absolutely.
And there's a lot more happiness in the future here. I see you maybe staying longer than I'd like you see you staying with this man, but I don't think beyond another year God will tolerate this without kind of getting you out of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's another soulmate being brought in alignment with you. And, you know, you've been with him so long, it's almost hard to walk away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people say, well, you know, he's the devil, I know, you know, whatever. But,
and we also have a child together, so a little bit of...
And how old is your child?
She's going to be 20.
Okay, so...
May.
So you're karmically, you know, sort of enmeshed with him for the rest of, you know, your life because you have a child, and... So you're still going to have to see him and deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't you think your daughter needs to see a better version of love, too, than what she's seen?
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
Okay. Now, you know, believe me, I'm not judging you, okay? Mm-hmm. I showed my daughter not the best version of love for way too long. And she, you know, she's 36. She doesn't have a relationship. I could kick myself in the ass for what I showed her. You know, love is supposed to be something that you don't, every day you're not supposed to be thinking, should I stay or should I go? Okay? That's how you feel.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you're saying, should I stay or should I go? You know, when you're really with someone you love, heart, soul, mind, and body, a soulmate, the worst imaginable thing is that they will die on us. So you're not thinking, should I stay or should I go? Okay? You're, this, you know, one foot in, one foot out can't fix anything. for the, my recipe for you is for the next 3 months to try to stick your 2 feet back in the relationship. Give it your all. Do your best. If nothing changes in 3 months, because otherwise you're going to fall into depression, take two feet out. Doesn't mean it's over. It means he's got to really realize you had it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to enable him anymore. And, you know.
But do you see me, I mean, if I do stay, do you see a marriage or anything significant?
With him?
Yeah.
Why hasn't he married you yet?
Well, that's a long, complicated story.
Okay. Now, if you marry him, doesn't mean it makes a miracle change in him, by the way.
Right.
And, you know, if you want it marriage, if that's what's bothering you, you don't have full commitment, you might want to try for 3 months to do your best to see if he would commit to you. And marry you, if that's what you want. But just know that, you know, he's not going to change that much, you know, to the better.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not sure why you would want to marry him at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, is that for financial reasons?
Mainly. I mean, you know, I'm looking down the road, next year I'll be 50, and it's, you know, you look back and it's like, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know?
And again, if you marry somebody for money, it's prostitution in God's eyes now. So don't, you know, if you want more security financially and otherwise, you could find that also in a new relationship and that. But don't marry him. You know, if you go to walk away from him, I guarantee he will marry you. Because he doesn't want you to leave, but then you're like really stuck. It's really—I'm just—it's not easy to get a divorce,
yeah.
By the way. So,
yeah.
Just promise me you won't marry him. Your dad's saying, "Tell her to promise you." She never breaks her promises. Promise me that you won't do anything until you really figure out that I love him and I want to stay with him. You know.
Yeah,
perfect.
But
or
we're
imperfect.
Not talking till like next year anyway, before anything like that could even be really discussed.
Okay, good.
There's other legal things going on in the works. So we're talking about a
year
down
from
the
now.
Road.
All right. So give
yeah,
yourself like a year to figure out if this, you know, because God will tell you by a year from now, the 5 year, whether this is something that can work or not work.
Right.
And you know, he does need some sort of therapy or something. Are you aware of that?
Oh yeah.
Okay, and again, sometimes, you know, it is, if you people practice behavior modification, they just behave differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's good too, if they, you know, but he's got, something's got to give. He can't just keep,
right.
It can't be his way or no way. You know, first of all, you can't be 50.
And that's how basically he is.
And you do remember what I was saying to Julia. When people hit
mm-hmm.
50, they can't take any more crap anymore.
Right.
You get to the point where you just, the blinders come off, the rose-colored glasses come off. You're so emotionally and financially, psychologically exhausted. You just can't take crap anymore. It's just
that's
50 is the mark where I couldn't take any more crap anymore.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you can't go back then. So there is that moment where we just said, I have done everything right. I've been patient. I've been this, and look where I've gotten. And, you know, if I've done everything right, how come I'm not happy?
Yeah.
So it's a little more just pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself, by the way, and
yeah,
see where that
always
leads.
Always last on the list.
Okay, because we're the martyrs. Jesus laughed at us. He's, you know, he said, I'm the only one that carries the cross. Could you put everybody's cross down, please, and stop being martyrs? Imagine he called the good people your pack of martyrs, okay? Like,
yeah.
You're all miserable. Who's telling you to carry their cross and clean up their mess? You know, you're telling yourself to do it. Put it down.
Right.
You know, first of all, we get too old. We're exhausted. We're the donkey people. All we've done is work. You're 50, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And so,
absolutely.
You know, take a little time to think of where you want to be a year from now. Again, he will never leave you, by the way. So,
yeah.
You know, he might threaten it, but it's not happening. Okay?
Yeah.
So with that piece of knowledge, make him be the kind of man you want to stay with.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like I, you know, my ex-husband, he was miserable with me. He could be miserable without me. You know, it's like, come on. So there's a point
yeah.
where we get fed up. Well, you'll do us a favor and call in maybe in a month or so and let us know if you've been trying to change how you are to him and see how
okay.
if that changes something.
Okay. I'm going to try.
Well, we're at the end of our show. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Cindy. Have a good night.
You too. Well, Nicole, we went full cycle. We had a lot of the good to a fault people here, didn't we?
Oh, my goodness, we did.
And don't you love when I say things, baby? That's me. That's me. Like, we're, you know, it's frightening that it's all good people have the same traits, you know. Well, I'm so glad we did our show tonight. And, Nicole, I look forward to our show next week.
Absolutely, yeah. Cindy. Wonderful job,
you.
As always.
Okay, and thanks, everybody, for all the listeners. And remember, if you ever want to get through, you can contact me via cindybella1@yahoo.com, and I will try to put you through.
All right.
Bye.